minute.
This week on the House of Static, musician, writer, entrepreneur, and co-founder of Kilo's alma mater, the Icon Collective in Los Angeles, California, David Alexander.
What's up, guys? This is the House of Static. I'm Kilo House, the house part, and this is Bob, who goes by the Static Dive, and he is the Static part. And today we have a very special guest with us that means a lot to me. His name is David, and he is the owner of Icon Collective,
which co-owner and co-founder.
Yes, Chris, with someone else I know very well. Chris, he's the co-owner. So that's why we have him on the show today, to talk about Icon, to talk about music. He has a lot to say about that, and I mean, I think that's pretty much it. So yeah.
All right.
Well, Bob, Kilo, thanks for having me. Congrats on the venture you guys put together to put this podcast together and share some knowledge with people. And I'm just here to be of service. So if you guys have any topics or anything that you want to, you know, discuss.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. For sure.
Well, let's get into it then. First off, let's hear where you're from and kind of your first kind of introduction to music and how you got into music.
Yeah, I mean, I'm originally from Colombia, South America, and my mom used to play in church. So at a very young age, I just grew up with a piano in the house. I'm an only child. I had to entertain myself, and the piano was a good way to pass time. So I was as a young kid, I was plinking around, see what was going on. And I think that's what really sparked my interest in music was my mom was a pianist and a musician.
That's awesome.
That is very
cool. Very cool. So you talked about being the co-owner of Icon. Can you tell us a little bit about how you know Chris, how you met Chris, how you
If I could, actually, Kilo, maybe we should start with, what is Icon? You guys obviously know, but we should tell folks, like, Icon Collective is this.
Yes.
So, David, what is Icon?
All right. I think in a nutshell, Icon is a place that says yes to people that are passionate about pursuing a career in music. Mm-hmm. And we are a college of music. We now have been around since 2005. And we cater to artists that want to take control of their careers. And we do that by educating them on the technology, the tools, and also the creative process of being an artist. And you envelop all that within a community of people that have devoted their life to music, and you come up with this thing that's bigger than the sum of its parts. And we basically have been excited to introduce a vocal program and now a music business program, because I think those three entities, producer, vocalist, and manager, basically are a strong foundation for a tribe of people that can have a common goal and pursue a successful creative career in music.
Yeah, for sure.
And when did you start Icon?
We started Icon in April of 2005.
Oh, okay. That's a good run so far then. Now it's 17 years, right on.
It started very organically and gradually grew by word of mouth, and the graduates started having success and people just connected with the philosophy. I think we were doing something quite different than most educational schools at the time, which was basically to focus on artists and not technicians. There's a lot of schools for engineers, and we were noticing that there were a lot of artists in those engineering programs that really didn't want to go get a job as an engineer. They wanted to produce their own music.
Right.
So we changed that paradigm, and it was at the perfect time when computers were starting to support digital audio recording, and the education system hadn't really adopted that way of producing music. So it was just a combination of, you know, all the right, Christopher and I meeting, you know, we were both working for a college. We got inspired by each other's creativity and talent, and we were making music and working on projects. At the same time, we were working for this school that had a recording program, and we could see the real disconnect. And one day we just got together and said, hey, you know, we're giving the school all of our ideas. Why don't we just take a chance and see if we can start an educational facility that really serves people like us?
We can do this better, basically, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do it different, because right. I don't think anyone else was really doing it in that way.
Right.
We exercise the same techniques that we teach artists when pursuing a career in music, which is you have to leave everything of comfort. You have to cross a threshold into the unknown. You have to jump fully in and trust the process. And so we both quit our jobs, even though we both had responsibilities. I had a wife and, you know, he had a son that he was taking care of. But we said, there's no plan B. We are going to do this, and we're going to do this on this day. And this is how we're going to start. And the future's uncharted, but our intention isn't. And that's basically how we started, you know?
Kind of leading by example there, right? I mean, you're saying you're telling your students you have to have faith in yourself, and you have to have faith in your abilities and dive in and don't half-ass it. So you're led by example by doing it yourself, saying.
And it's funny.
Rip off the Band-Aid and get in, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah, Bob just quit his job recently, and that's when we started this whole thing.
He kind
of was doing music, and then I started being his engineer and mixing and mastering his record for him, and then he got signed. So then he was like, fuck it, I'm leaving corporate America, and I'm going to do music. So it's like he's definitely fresh to that idea of leaving everything behind. But I left my family and my friends when I moved out here to California to be part of Icon and go to Icon. And so I kind of know that feeling. And I've said on the program before, you kind of have to have the mindset that you drove past the last gas station in the desert and you know you're too far away to go back and get gas and you're running out of gas. So you better hope there's a gas station up ahead. Like if you're not in that mindset of like, it's make it or break it time, you're always going to have an out. You're always going to have an excuse. So I love that. I completely agree with that.
It changes something about your perspective. It changes the way you speak. It changes the way people perceive you.
Right.
Because you're telling people that you have value and that you have something creative to share. But yet, if you're not fully committed to it, in a way, they pick up on that sense of hesitancy and it's harder for them to believe you.
Yeah.
So it's just all it's all interconnected, you know.
It's really true.
Absolutely.
You know, I can tell you when, I'll talk about it briefly because Kilo introduced it. But yeah, so I had a corporate job and for a long time. I worked in corporate America for like 25 years. So I'm a lot older than Kilo. And anyway, I'd be in meetings. And it was a real job. I was getting paid a lot of money and doing things that people someone thought was important. And so I'd be in these meetings and everything and obviously the beginning of the end of the meeting, somebody would be like, oh, so what are you doing this weekend? I'd be like, oh, well, I got a gig. They're like, a gig? You know, because these are like, you know, these are accountants and shit, you know? And they're like, well, what are you talking about? You know, I'm like, well, I'm a musician. I always found myself saying like, that's what I really do. I'm a musician. And they'd be like, oh, okay. Well, you're here 80, 50 hours a week. So you don't, that's not really what you do, you know? Right. And it kind of eventually after many years clicked on me. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm actually good at this. I'm going to do it now. So
yeah, and it's not easy to transition from having a responsibility, having bills, and stepping into music full time. Obviously committing also requires planning and understanding a basic idea of how you're going to approach the path. Mm-hmm. And I think the hardest thing for creatives is to acquire time, right? Time is the biggest commodity, right?
Yep.
So, for example, there's the story of Morgan Page, who's also, a fellow friend and a producer who was working, a graphics job and wanted to go into music full time. And he basically set himself a goal of earning and saving enough money so that he could earn enough time to jump in full time and give himself that head start.
Right.
So he was looking at, I'm not going to get that coffee because that's $5 and that $5 equals 3 minutes.
Yep.
Those 3 minutes I can add to the time that I'm earning to give myself the momentum to pull it off. So
that's funny. It's almost identical to the story that our last guest told us, which this great producer, this girl, London Elixir, and she's, she makes R&B and hip hop music. She lives out in Atlanta now, and she's very cool. But she's from Ohio originally. It's the same exact story. She graduated high school. She was very smart. She had great grades, and she got a full ride to school, like academic scholarship. So she, when she was going to college, she's like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get a degree in computer science. I'm going to work for 3 years. I'm going to put all the money in the bank, and then I'm going to move to Atlanta and be a record producer. She did exactly that. I mean, it was like a 7-year plan she had. Or she like goes to job, gets her 4-year degree, gets the job, didn't want the job, didn't like it, but knew, but it was good money. Stuck all that money in the bank, living at mom's house, and then took off. And she's doing great. She's very successful.
Well, yeah, a lot of go ahead. Sorry,
David. I'm gonna say, Kilo, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say a lot. Well, actually, I kind of forgot what I was gonna say. This does happen from
you
time
did it
to time.
This time.
Once on every episode, one of the three people will forget exactly what they were going to talk about. Yeah. So I did it first this time. So go ahead, David. I'll be thinking about what I was going to say.
Okay. I think I just forgot what I was going to say. So
great. Number two. Okay. I think I may have remembered, which is weird, but that's okay. I was going to say a lot of people feel like they don't get like an opportunity or a chance, right? Like, and I feel like it's not like that. It's like you have to be ready for that moment. When that moment comes, like I've always told people, like when you get like your one shot, and that's what you can get more than one, obviously, but when you get that one big shot, you better be ready to kick the fucking door down. You know, like you better be stacked with ideas and passion and all these things, because you may only get that opportunity once. You know, like you should have that mindset, because it's like if you sit on your ass all day and say you want to be a producer and you don't fly out to California and find Icon Collective and all that kind of stuff, do you really want to be a producer, or do you think it's cool to call yourself a producer? Right. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you're right. Like, you have to be in the mindset of, I don't need that coffee right now. I need that time, that 3 minutes, you know? So,
and there are a thousand different paths to get there, but it's that initial like commitment to your path. You say, this is how I'm going to, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it, and go for it. Whether it's flying out to California or it's going to college in Ohio, you know, you set your goal and you get
done. And that, you know, that's a real scary thing for a lot of people, because the unknown is where the uncomfortable is. But when you make the commitment to step into the unknown, it changes everything. How committed is a person going to be that's been working 40 hours a week and maybe devotes 10, 15 hours a week versus someone who's worked, has a 7-year plan, got a degree, worked for 3 years, and has saved up enough money, and today is day one,
right?
But they're no longer at the job and they're starting to eat through their savings. How much more committed is that second person going to be pursuing their craft? So
I'll tell you, the dwindling savings is a big motivator. I can tell you that
absolutely
firsthand. You know, absolutely. You get down to business when you see the savings go away. So,
and I think that all also applies to most aspects of life, where you have to just kind of dive in and see what problems come up and see what happens. And so kind of, maybe walk us through kind of your journey of Icon from like starting it to whether or not it went perfect right off the bat, or if it took years, or just tell our audience. I know part of the story, but I'd love to hear you tell the story.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it all started with, and I'll make it concise, but I had to go to a seminar and I was just a field technician making sure there was no clips or audios in the live recording. And there was a motivational speaker that said, you know, you don't have to be at your destination. You just have to be walking so confidently towards it that people will get behind you as if you're already there. Okay. And I had already thought about the idea of starting a school, and that just rang a big bell. And I said, he's right. You know, that also plays into how you speak about things. Right. The words that you use, the way you communicate with people, the way that you tell them your story, all has a major impact on your opportunity for success. So as an example, if I tell people, you know, I've got this idea about starting a school and maybe it might happen next year, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. They're automatically, subconsciously going to file that into a folder of something that's not yet real.
Not happening, right?
It's a maybe. It's a maybe, it's a perhaps. Yeah. If I tell them, hey, in the 15th of February, I'm launching a school that caters towards artists, and this is what we're going to focus on, and this is where it's going to be, they're not going to file that in that same cabinet. They're going to file this in something that's real and tangible and happening.
Right.
And that changes the way they talk about it to other people. And that changes the way they perceive you. So even though that date hasn't come, and maybe you don't have all the steps of how you're going to go from there to there, you've made a commitment. You believed it first.
Right.
So you have to believe it so strongly, even though you're not there yet, that other people are going to get behind you. And it's actually those other people getting behind you, they're going to make it come to life. But they're not going to do that until you speak correctly and you believe strongly.
Right.
So I think that was really not the genesis of the idea, but the genesis of the decision to move forward. I shared this with Christopher. He was in agreement. And we used the same concept to acquire the location. You know, I was thinking where would be a nice place to have this. It'd have to be entertainment related. And we ended up finding a facility in downtown that was four city blocks dedicated to movies, television, and film. And they didn't have a music component there. So I basically told, we met with the president. I said, listen, on April 5th, we are going to start a music production school that caters to artists. And we would love that to be here in your community. Would you be open to accepting a music component? He's like, I love the idea. What can I do to support? I said, basically, allow me to have a conference room to bring my clients so they can see the facilities about, you know, maybe 3 weeks or a month before we start the program. He goes, not only will I give you the room, but I'll personally give them a tour of the facility.
That's awesome.
So had I told them, you know, maybe we might start school here. We really don't have any students yet, but we think this, he might have thought of it differently, you know.
And then
I went back to our prospective students and I said, we have a location. We want to come present the program and for you to take a tour of the facilities. At that time, they didn't know we didn't have a lease and we hadn't signed anything. I mean, we had no money. We just had a concept and a belief. And on that day, the president of the location, which is, it's called, I forgot the name of the place. It's on 3rd Street in Bixel in downtown. It's a big place. He got together with our prospective students and gave them a tour. He didn't know that they hadn't signed up yet. And they didn't know that we had put a deposit in. But at the end of that, we got deposits, we took that money and paid for the location and acquired the funds that we needed based on the way that we were speaking and our belief.
Right. They believed in you. That was the thing.
Right.
They believed that you believed in yourself. You know,
they
had a mission.
In what we believed in, you know, and we were speaking about it correctly and talking about it in a way that was so confident that they didn't doubt that it wouldn't happen.
That's right.
Even though if one of those elements doubted, it all would have fell apart.
Right.
Well, that reminds me of something that I've said many times on this program, which is like the concept of fake it until you become it. And I've told people on here, and David's watched some of the episodes, so you may already know this, that I literally faked my way into Icon. No, no offense to you, but I didn't know as much as it seemed like I knew, right? Because I was using Nexus to make my sounds. I was using drum loops from Logic. So I didn't know as much as it made me seem like I knew, but I gave off the vibe exactly what you're saying. I did exactly what you said before. I put my mindset in the mindset of a producer. Every day I said, would a producer eat that? Would a producer go to sleep right now? Like, even though I didn't know the right answers to half of it, I was faking myself in. I was doing to myself what you did to the clients. And I was going, I am this person now.
Yeah.
So how am I going to act, right?
And at the end of the day, that's not really faking it because you're behaving and acting as if you are that already.
Right.
I had a friend of mine that was, this is kind of interesting. He had been an artist for many years, released a lot of records, and he also had a very successful event in LA for one of the top electronic music events. So he was, to me, was very successful. And one night we were in the studio and he was saying, you know, when I get this, I'm going to be the artist. When this happens, I'm going to be the artist. When he was looking for a threshold to cross, he was looking for a validation exterior of himself, maybe an award, maybe a song in the top 10. And I was thinking, I told him, listen, you already are. And until you confirm to yourself that you are, you're not going to achieve these levels of success that you're looking for.
Right.
And he just realized, you guys, it's like, you're right. I already am. I don't need these things to validate whether I am or not. That validation starts with me first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people struggle with that in the beginning.
Right.
But yeah, this is basically how Icon started. And it was, in the beginning, was challenging because we didn't have a lot of money for marketing. There weren't a lot of graduates yet, but we stayed true to the mission. And gradually, you know, we started to grow organically and started going from one location to the next. And I mean, I'm blessed to say that during the pandemic, we built out a 30,000 square foot facility that's custom built for the mission of educating artists, you know. And we're still just as excited about what we're doing as we were, you know, when we were servicing five students in a small room. So
where in LA is your new facility?
New facility is in Burbank, and we're off a street called Tahunga and I think IKEA Way, which is one block from San Fernando where all the restaurants and the shops are. And there's also a lot of housing and apartments in the area. So it's a really nice place to have a campus, you know.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm in New York, by the way. So
we usually say that at the beginning. I totally forgot this time. I just thought maybe our viewers already knew. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm pretty familiar with LA. That's why.
So
I was asking.
Was it just like, for our audience's sake, was it smooth sailing from the start after you kind of got that concept, or were there certain life struggles you had to overcome to get Icon from being in someone else's building to owning that giant fucking studio that's amazing and beautiful? Like,
oh man, are you kidding? Hang on, I'm looking up something on my computer to see if I still have this, because I've saved it for almost 14 years. Just one moment.
Okay.
PQR. Oh, it's on my other machine. Yeah, it's in a folder called Rock Bottom.
All right, perfect.
And basically, there was, I think it was like a year and a half into starting the school, I was looking at my bank account. I literally had like $1.19. And I had no idea where the next dollar was coming from. And I was just sitting at the school location in the studio, just thinking about this. And I said, you know what? It's never going to be any worse than this. Right. And it's all going to be uphill. So I took a screenshot of it so that I could remember that day. And I still have it. Yeah, there, you know, it's, the journey hasn't always been easy. And there's been a lot of times when it looks like we were going to lose the facility. We weren't going to have a location. There were things that were coming right down the road that seemed like disaster. But there's a part of the way that I believe, which is that, you know, I believe there is a higher power, you know, and I have a lot of reasons to believe that, which is a whole different discussion.
Right.
But in those moments, I feel like we're given a choice. You know, we can lean into our fears and trust our fears and listen to that voice that tells you everything's going to be gloom and doom.
Right.
Or you can say, I'm here for a purpose. I feel like I'm fulfilling my mission. And if you put me here for this purpose, then you're going to guide me. And if this door is closing, it's because there's another positive door that I need to be stepping through.
Right.
And in this moment, I'm grateful that this is doors closing and that I'm hitting this wall, because I know that you're about to show me the opportunity where I need to go. So it's a real exercise in faith to be in a state of joy when you're being hit with some of your hardest struggles. And to say, I believe that this is guiding me in a direction that I need to go, and that this is not the path for me.
Right.
And it hasn't been easy, but every time you do that, you build that confidence and you keep getting results. And it's just a very, very positive thing to experience over and over. And the more that you trust and align your attitude to that, and the more that it turns out in the positive and a confirmation, the more belief you have the next time that cycle of doors closing and challenges coming that help you overcome them, you know.
I'm not saying
that we don't, you know, I'm not saying that fear isn't real,
right,
or that we're worried that things are going to go south. I'm just saying that beyond that, we have a choice on how we want to set our attitude and intentions. And I think that has a real impact on the way things turn out.
Definitely.
You know, I'll say, you know, in my own little journey this past year, right, is that you know, as I mentioned, I'm a little bit older than Kilo. So I'm 51 years old. So I'm like smack dab in the middle of Generation X, right? I am the poster child for Generation X, the apathy and the nihilism and the just, you know, just, you kind of expect everything to suck. That's kind of how we grew up, you know, in the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
And I really, in my old age here, in my 50s, is when I'm really starting to kind of snap out of that and go, well, hey, you know, maybe just being present in my life and actually like seeing the opportunities in front of me and seeing the paths to happiness that I actually have, you know, maybe that's what life is. Maybe you don't have to just give the finger to the world and say everything sucks, you know. And a big example of that, right, is that because Kilo and I have been friends for about a year now, and he mentioned I got a record deal, and it's small, it's just a little record company in Germany.
Congrats, though. But that's
thank you. Well,
that's someone confirming you know, outside of your own belief.
Exactly. Well, that was
it's
the thing.
Not your mom saying,
right? Yeah. Right. Say. Exactly. Yeah. And that was the thing. It was like, you know, that was, it was going to possibly happen, right? And I was waiting. I was talking to Kilo about it. It was months ago. And I was talking to Kilo about it. I'm like waiting for the Germans to give me the record deal and sign the contract and send it back to me because I had already signed it. And I'm like, they're not going to do it. It's going to suck. You know, I'm not going to get it. I've tried. I've been trying to get a record deal for 35 years. It's never happened. It's not going to happen. And Kilo's like, yes, it is. Why? What the hell would you? You know, he was, you know, and I don't know if it's a generational thing or it's just his positive attitude, but he's just like, you don't think like that. He's like, if you think like that, it won't happen. You think it will happen. And he's
I don't think my generation thinks like that. I could be wrong.
It's just you. Yeah.
I
mean,
but I think that I just have that mindset of like, if my mindset is the best things never happen, so the worst things should never happen either, right? So like thinking on the negative side of that, you're like, it's not going to happen. I'm like, well, you know, it's not going to ever turn out the way you think it's going to. That's life. So obviously, but you, what I said to you was, because you said, well, it never works out for me.
Right.
That's what you said. I said to you, well, why don't you just not think like that this time?
That's right.
Because in my opinion, you putting that thought out into the universe and God or the universe or whatever's out there is like, oh, your mindset is you're not going to have it. Because I believe you need the mindset of already having something to get it, right? You don't think I want it, because then you just get more want. But if you have the mindset of I am a producer, or I have this contract, even if you don't even have a contract in your hand, if you have that mindset, the universe can't do anything other than give it to you. So yeah, that story we've told numerous times on the program, but I definitely think it's worth it. When David was talking, it reminded me of something this pastor talked about. His name is T.D. Jakes, and he's more of a motivational speaker than a pastor. And he's this big African-American guy that's just very passionate, and I love him. But he talked about how when we pray for things to happen and we want it to happen, we expect God to make it like an escalator where we're here and then we're there. And we don't realize that we have to go up each step to get to where we want to be. And so if we're not seeing that leap from ground one to wherever our dream is, then we think God's not there or the universe isn't listening or whatever. But that's not the case. It's that you have to go through the steps, literal steps and metaphorical steps, to get to the top. So, yeah, that's a great story. That's a great way of thinking about it, you know?
I think there are many times when we could have just said, oh man, this is the end, and it would have been very easy to fall into that nihilistic way of thinking, so that's been part of the recipe of, you know, of us confidently moving forward.
Well, cool.
And I love what you said about kind of the well, it can never get worse than this, because Bob is a Zen Buddhist, and I have a big, huge Buddhist background in my life. And it's kind of like knowing a harder level of suffering makes life more bearable. For instance, me being in that hospital bed with part of my lung removed and tubes draining fluid out of both of my lungs, and them saying I probably wouldn't make it. Like, I can have a bad day right now and still be in a great mood because I'm not in that fucking hospital bed. And that's what you did with, you know, I mean, I have things that remind me of being in that hospital bed, like you have that folder where it's like you, no matter what happens today, if you get in a car wreck or like you, you know, stub your toe wrong and fuck it up, you're okay because you know what a higher level of shit sucks right now feels like. So yeah. I think everybody needs that, which is weird that I started thriving after almost not even surviving, right? It took that level of like them not knowing what I was going to do and having to do surgeries for me to even, because I was not thriving yet. I was surviving, right? But not thriving. And now it's like, I can't have a bad day, basically.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, and you know, I mean, no one really knows what our individual challenges are.
Right.
I have no way of really understanding what Bob's challenges have been to get to this point. And people that are watching this may have no idea of what your challenges have been. But whatever challenge you had, it changed your perspective because this laying in that bed in that condition change the perspective of the other challenge that you had of not being as bad as that, you know? So that's another thing is that a lot of times, you know, we make an opinion about a situation based from our point of view, but we don't see the big picture. And sometimes what we think is bad ends up being really good in, after the story evolves. So, but we don't live in a society that encourages you to think that way. You know, we live in a society where, you know, there is no higher power. You know, there, you know, we came from nothing and there was no intention behind it. And there's no purpose to anything. And it's just so obvious. You know, how do you know that there was a painter when you look at a painting?
Right.
You know, how do you know there was an author when you look at a book? How do you know that there was a creator when you look at creation? I mean, there's it's but that's one of the biggest gifts, and the only gift that we've really been given is the gift of choice.
Right.
So, and I think this is the only circumstance in which love can exist because love requires choice. Mm-hmm. You know? And we have a choice. We're free. We have free will. We can think as we wish. We can make the choices. We can choose to believe. We can choose to believe A, choose to believe B, choose to believe C. But that's part of our journey, you know, to figure out what is real to us. What do we believe? And how do those beliefs line up with our real world experience?
Right. And I think what a good way to go about that is to be a very open-minded person. Like, I sometimes call myself like religiously fluid or whatever, like where like I'm not stuck in my ways. So if I read a book or learn something that rings more true than something that it may conflict with my beliefs, I'm not opposed to saying I was wrong. I believe this now. And I've been made fun of by my good friends. One of my friends who died a few years ago, like I always was like, bro, you're so fickle about what you believe. And I'm like, no, no, fickle. I'm just not stubborn in this has to be true or nothing, right? Because that's what people do. They go either what I have been believing is true or nothing is true. Those are my options. No, there's tons of options, bro.
Big just universe out there.
Read books.
lots
of books and lots of opinions. I'm sure one of them will mean something to you, which, you know, in my opinion, is God, quote unquote, way of talking to different people. You know, I'm not going to get inspired by the same things you do or Bob does. Mm-hmm. You know, so obviously, if there is a creator, there has to be a million ways to reach out and kind of impact our lives, in my opinion. So,
there are 1,000 different paths up that mountain. You know what I mean?
Right,
you're all going to the same point, but there are a lot of ways to get there.
Right.
Beyond the struggle of being an artist, which we all understand that, I mean, can we just talk about what a beautiful life it is to actually pursue something that's based off the gift you've been given and to have the courage to step into that and experience some success and impact people and find something of value and share it with society.
Absolutely.
All we want is a little meaning to our lives, right? And right. That is one way that we can definitely wake up and feel like we're contributing and that there is meaning and that right. there's something that's that outlast us, that we can leave some type of legacy. So,
well, that's the thing. That story I was telling, where I usually said, you know, what I really am is a musician. Well, you know, when I really became a musician, the reason I said that is because that was the thing that gave me joy in my life.
Right.
I felt fulfilled. I felt like, and I'm good at it. So it made me feel good about myself. It made me feel good about what I'm contributing to the world. So, yeah. So once you make that choice and say, you know, that's actually what I'm going to do all the time now.
Right.
It completely changes your mindset. I'm a thousand times happier than I was a year ago. And it's really true. And because of that,
Wonderful.
So, yeah. So yes. If we could go back to Icon for a second, because we were talking about the, you know, the struggles and how you got there and the psychological choices that we all have to make to kind of commit to these things. And you did it, right? You did it. And it's a successful school. You've been going now for 17 years, I think we just calculated. And a lot's happened. So what are some of the accomplishments of Icon that you're most proud of, whether it's accomplishments that you and Chris have had, or accomplishments your students have had? Just, you know, what has Icon done that makes you go, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I think for me is seeing the stories of the graduates, that they were in another part of the state. They were in another part of the country. They felt isolated. They were focusing on this craft and this passion in a room by themselves.
Right.
Found a place where they could join a place with other people. And for them to come and experience what I call collective intelligence.
Yeah.
And what this is, and I realized that we didn't really understand this would happen, but it's basically the upper freshmen sharing information with the younger freshmen. And by the time they became upper students, they were more advanced than the students that taught them. And then the cyclical sharing and growing of information. And then for them to participate in that and then go out to experience success with their careers, with their brands, releasing music, touring, traveling, and that they're having an impact on other people. So what's really exciting is just having just a really small fingerprint on that, right? Because really the only thing that Christopher and I did was create a place that we wish we had when we were wanting to produce music, when we were wanting to experience a career in music. I mean, we were just lucky to be surrounded by environments where people were trying to create that place. It was just a perfect storm of, you know, technology coming together, a different approach. The industry was changing and the way that people were getting deals, the way people were producing music, and just being true to that mission. And then finding other people that believed it to join us and help build it.
Right.
But right. The success of the graduates is by far the most impactful, beautiful thing that I can experience. You know?
Well, that definitely reminds me of something I wanted to bring up to you about that whole idea, right? Whenever I found Icon was when a producer, unlike Pluto, told me that there was this this studio that I looked like the people from, right? He said, I think it might be kind of like a cult because they all go to shows together and they wear the same logo like I'm wearing right now.
There you go.
They all wear black.
right. And he's like, and you dress like them, I think they might accept you. So he gave me, we're sitting at a hookah bar in downtown LA, and he gave me your website. And when I looked it up the next morning, it's when I actually ended up touring Icon, which was dope. But like, yes, there's this collective mindset at Icon that, not being offensive, but like you put something in the Kool-Aid, right? Like everybody seems, when I went there at least, to get along, and everyone shares things they know. You know, Phil Garza, which I'm sure you're familiar with that name, he helped me with Ableton when I didn't know Ableton, right? And Matthew, who was in my class, you know, because I was a Logic producer, but I didn't come in with the attitude of I only want to produce on Logic like some people did. So I mean, yeah, it's like, how, please explain to me how you put the sauce in the Kool-Aid and made this environment where it's like, I remember when I met Jaws and I didn't know who it was, but he told me some good advice about going to ICON and stuff. And I didn't know who he was, but it was like a big graduate. I'm sure everyone watching this knows who that is. And he's talking to me, who's been there for a week, right? And it's like that. How do you do that? The sauce in the Kool-Aid.
It's not us. It's you.
Really?
It's not us. It's the students. It's these individual people that have decided that they're going to work for 2 years and save up everything they have to go to this place because they're so passionate about music and this is the thing that drives them. So imagine after working 2 years, saving up everything, and you show up at this place, are you going to wake up one day and go, oh, I'm just going to go to the beach today?
Right, right.
Well, you know what? I think I'm just going to go for a hike. I'll catch that class. No.
No, you're not.
They're there every day, and they're serious, and they're committed because they've already earned the right to be there, you know?
Right, right.
And you have one person that's been researching that night 8 hours how to get a nice punchy transient on their snare. And someone right. else has been figuring out how to tune their kick drum to their sub bass so that the low end is super tight. And they both spent 16 hours separately trying to figure this out. And mm-hmm. they bump into each other in the hallway. And they're like, hey, what's up? Oh, check this out. He opens up his laptop. And in 5 minutes, they share with each other
right.
16 hours of research, and they come up.
Now they, both, now they both have kick-ass drum sounds. That's
and that happens more than once a day.
300 people all under one building that are right. passionate about the same thing. And they're all micro focused on different topics, and they're all inter-sharing that information. Right. So obviously, you know, the curriculum is important, and the way that you sequence information is important. And when things are presented are important. I think that's another thing, you know, that we do really well, because honestly, all the information that anyone needs to know is available, right? If right. you know the right question to ask, you can Google it and right. figure out what right. the answer is. But the problem is, you don't know what to ask, and you don't right. know in what order to ask it.
Right.
So I think right. that's one of the things that we do really well is we see the big picture, and we're able to organize information in a sequence that's very relevant to where you want to go. But that magic that you're talking about, Kilo, is yeah. the students. It's the people that have made a commitment.
Well, if that's the case, what do you think other facilities have done wrong to not make that how it works? Because it is, for anyone watching this, a very weird vibe. Like, not weird in the back. Like, let me share a story real fast that you reminded me of. When I looked up your website, I watched Slander's ICON interview, mm-hmm. like introduction video, right? And one of them had gone there and one of them hadn't. And when I graduated, I had just recorded my ICON like interview for you guys. And then the other member of Slander went to ICON, right? And mm-hmm. so I'm sitting out there in the front by the coffee machine in our old building. And I'm like producing, and I overhear this guy talking about putting audio effects on his leads and stuff, and which I do that with everything I make. And so I go over and talk, and it's the guy from Slander who I watched him talk about ICON to get in. And I'm then figuring out after he explains who he is, like that I'm sitting there giving like tips and stuff to someone who got me to go to ICON.
That's awesome, man.
I just wanted our viewers to know how big of a dynamic it is, where it's like, right. he was a lower classman. I had graduated, but he had influenced me to go to ICON. So it's like, but we're sitting there as both producers and just talking about what we love to do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, what do you think other people have done wrong that makes that not happen, if you think we make it happen?
Yeah, I think maybe what I can go back to, like the philosophy that most schools are preparing graduates to get jobs,
right?
So if you go to engineering school, your goal is to get a job at a studio, right? If you go to a nursing school, your job is to get your goal is to get a job at a medical facility,
right?
But I think when we came along, we changed that perspective by saying, we don't want you to get a job. We want you to be an entrepreneur and start a business.
Right.
And we had a lot of issues with that with the state, because the state wants to see metrics. How right. many people have you graduated? How many people have gotten jobs? What right. is the placement ratio?
How much are they making?
Like, no.
right.
No, these people aren't looking for jobs. These people are creating jobs. They're creating businesses. They're hiring marketing people. They're hiring right. agents. They're hiring tour managers. They're hiring graphic artists. So I think that's one of the main differences, Kilo, is that if you come to ICON, we want you to launch your own career. You're there right. because you have a goal, you have a mission. We want you to be an entrepreneur. We want you to launch your own brand. We don't want you working for somebody. We don't want you tracking right. someone's record. We don't necessarily want you. The goal is not for you to mix someone's album, although you can because you have the skill sets and a lot of people do that. But that's not the main focus. The main focus right. is you as an individual have value.
Right.
And there's something about the way you see the world and you experience circumstances and you pull emotion from that, that has value. And that perspective
right.
you have, no one else in the world has.
Right.
So, and that is really, really valuable. And to be able to share that perspective with society from your unique point of view
right.
Is there's no one else that can do that by you. So I think fostering that idea that each individual has value and that they need to be nurtured so they can have a platform to share that value and allow them to live a creative, successful lifestyle through that is,
right.
is I think where the difference is, you know?
And I think what David just kind of touched on is how I was able to create my brand, create a genre that no one has heard or made before called Terror Trap, which I did not coin the term. Blogs coined that term and it's cool, so I like it. But like, I tapped into me, not what other people made for music. I took trap music because that's what I like, and then horror because I watch a lot of horror movies and my life has been quite a shit show sometimes, right? But I'm inspired by that kind of feel. And so I didn't go necessarily, are people going to like this? But I just made what came from inside me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of touching on that for the viewers and say, like, if you can truly be true to yourself, which is hard sometimes because we have to open up and admit our flaws, admit our fears, admit our joys. Some people don't like to admit that. But that's how you create a distinct brand that's not just me creating another, you know, Avicii album or like, you know, mm-hmm. Foster Dahmus album. So right. that's exactly the mindset that I adopted. And so I probably got that from you guys. I mean, right. just kind of learned that I have to just be true to myself. Right.
Yeah.
So, but that brings up a thing I wanted to talk to you about because we talked to all of our guests and artists about this, like inspiration, right? I talked about my inspiration of horror genres and stuff. So what keeps you inspired on a daily basis? Like
what keeps me inspired?
Yeah.
I think I've spent so many years in a room by myself producing music that now I'm inspired by collaboration. I enjoy the creative process with other people. I enjoy being outdoors and doing things with other people. I right. enjoy more of a communal sense of the creative aspect. And it's not just music anymore. I'm really enjoying mentoring people on their businesses, mm-hmm. helping people that have a concept for a special talent and how they can develop that into a brand or monetizing that in a way. So I think just collaboration in general, you know, participating in other people's ideas to make up something that adds up more than in the individual parts.
Right.
That's awesome.
That I think connects to what we were just talking about as to what makes ICON different. And granted, you know, of the three of us, I've never been to ICON. I will. One of these days, next time I'm out in LA, I'll definitely go to ICON.
Yeah, for sure.
But
where do you live, Bob?
I live in New York. I'm in upstate New York.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, but I love LA and I go out there whenever I can. So I there'll be a trip, you know, within the year, I think. But anyway, that's not what I was getting at. What I was going to say is that, you know, when you were talking about, you guys were talking about ICON and what made it different and everything else. One thing that kind of struck me is that, and we just keep referring to it as ICON, but it's actually called the ICON Collective.
It's called Icon Collective. Yeah.
Icon Collective. And the reason I bring that up is because I'm a writer. Like that's what if I have a day job now, it's writing. It's mostly how I pay the bills is writing. I do a lot of freelance writing and I have a music blog and do some other things. Awesome. But anyway, I'm a very firm believer in the power of words and in the the efficient use and power of words. So I like to keep things concise and choose my words carefully when I write, you know, like Hemingway, you know, like if you ever read Hemingway, he writes tiny little books, you know, but they're, you know who he is for a reason, because in those tiny little books, he wrote, you know, volumes in a sentence. Anyway, what I'm getting at is not to talk about my writing, but really to talk about the name of your school. Because I mean that's throwing that one word on there, the collective,
absolutely
defines the whole thing, right? Like everything you guys just discussed about what that school is like is clearly defined in that word collective.
You're right.
And I think that's the most
telling. Never even thought about that, but that goes back to when we talk about like everything is like multimedia or whatever. Like the first thing you know about a school is the name, right? And the first instance of you experiencing Icon, which I just called it Icon again, but that's just because I talk about it all the time, but like is the Icon Collective. And then immediately when you go and you tour the school, you have that mindset of no one's gonna think they're better than me because it's a collective. So maybe you just made that crazy vibe that we were talking about by doing the thing you talked about in the original part of the episode, which is kind of like telling these people that these people were doing that, but they don't know, and back and forth. Like when you put that icon on that title, the collective aspect of it, you just suddenly made everyone think, I'm not going to be judged. I'm not going to be looked down on. It's a fucking collective.
Yeah. You're right, Bob. This is a thing I've done. This is a thing that I made up and it's real. And this is its name, and its name means something.
Right.
And boom, there you go.
It was definitely by design. We didn't want to be an institute. We didn't want to be an academy. We didn't want to be any of those terms.
You know? Right.
We wanted to be a group of people that felt like a family. Uh-huh. And I think that's
and it does.
You know, and that's the other thing that when we start out on this journey, we're a lot of times so isolated in front of a little laptop,
right?
In our own little room, inspired by what we're ever hearing. And we all just want to be part of something, you know? Mm-hmm. And the collective is a group of people that are passionate about music and believe that they all have something of value to share.
Absolutely.
All I know is that I've met about four or five of your either graduates or former employees, and one obviously is one of my best friends, Mr. Kilo House here. Yes. And with each of them, I've had deep discussions about Taoism and Zen Buddhism and Christianity and a whole bunch of other things when we're talking about music. You know what I mean? Which I love. That's fantastic. Right. You know. So that's kind of Kilo. That's what we talk about all the time. It's like we're either talking about bass or Taoism.
Right. Exactly. It's like, it's good because like there was a class when I went to Icon, I'm sure it's probably there still, called The Art of Flow, right? Which was a perfect combination of this is how you be an artist and make music, but also this is how you be a fucking person and survive. You know, and have that mindset of like, you know, of expanding your mind. And it's amazing to go to a music school and then learn about life and how to think about life. That's, I think, one of the most unique parts of my journey at Icon was the fact that you didn't just teach us music, right? You could have just given us the music curriculum and said, good luck, awesome. But no. You taught us how to be a person and like about inspiration, which we talk about on this show all the time. It's probably the biggest topic on our show all the time. And I learned there, you know, the fact that inspiration is a well and you don't always have it. And so the 5 years I wasn't inspired, it's fine because it's like now I'm very inspired and I can write a record in like a week. So yeah, that is another aspect that's completely different, in my opinion, than most places. But tell us what's next for you and what's next for Icon. you know, like,
well, now that we are in this new facility, we just want to continue to focus on the student experience. We, you know, as you know, Kilo, we do these anonymous surveys at the end of every quarter, and every student gets to voice his opinion about every instructor, every mentor, every course. And so we're getting all this feedback and experience about what people are connecting with, where they feel there's issues, where they think wonderful things are happening. So we're constantly just recirculating that collective intelligence, you know?
Right.
So we provide you an experience. You tell us how it is. We make adjustments based on what you're telling us. And it just keeps evolving. It's never ending. It's never perfect. It's never done. It's continually evolving. That's the way flow. It should be.
It's the flow, man.
Yeah. And so now we're really focusing on the vocal program and being able to create a place where vocalists feel comfortable coming and exploring who they are as artists, and creating a synergy between them and the producers, and also really focusing on a group of people that are maybe not creatives in terms of music, but they're so passionate about music that they want to be involved in the industry. And these are the people that are pursuing the music business program.
Right.
So they want to be tour managers. They want to be management for artists. They want to be booking agents. You know, they want to be supportive. They want to be involved in the industry and do things that aren't maybe front and center as a producer would be, or a vocalist, but are, but are equally important to the success of the artist and the vocalist.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Perfect. So, yes, I think now is the time of part of the show where we usually say, is there anything else you would like to talk about? The floor is yours. We'll talk about anything, whatever you want to say, or you can, you know, plug the website for Icon or anything, literally anything you feel
maybe
like.
Maybe you wrote a book.
Right now, yours.
I would say if you really want to get a sense for who we are, go to our YouTube page, because on our YouTube page is the voice of our students.
Right.
And us being a collective, that's the voice of the collective, you know. Website's easy, iconcollective.com or iconcollective.edu, actually. And the last thing I want to say is I'm really excited to see you guys partner up. You guys have a vision. You're moving forward. And if I could continue to be of service
to
you guys in any way, it would be an honor. And Bob, when you come to town, give us a call. I would love to
have
lunch with you. I hope that you send me some of your music, whatever you're up to these days, Kilo, too.
We're working together a lot these days.
I was just his mixing engineer and stuff, but then on this new record, I started writing some parts and being like, hey, bro, how dead set on that sound are you? Like, can I do like speeding the tempo up and putting in some house beats and stuff? So we've just totally done that now. So definitely we'll send you some of both of our music and our music together. But before you go, we do this thing.
You should drop a link at the bottom of this video so the people that are listening can also experience it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great idea. That's great. So now we're at my very favorite part of the show every time, where we go kind of around in a circle asking a question. So one of us hosts will ask a random life question just so people can get to know you as a person. And one of us will ask more of an industry-based question, which will be me today. And then you get to ask a question, and we all three have to answer
every question,
all three of the questions. So if there's a question that you ask that you don't want to answer, probably don't answer it.
Don't ask it.
Right. So I guess I'll start off with a question that I really actually want to know the answer from both of you guys, which is, what is one music genre where if it comes on, you're listening to that for the rest of the night? Like, what is the genre that
You listen
to more than any other genre? Or is there not one? Go ahead, David.
There really isn't a genre for me.
Okay.
For me, it really is just if there's a vibe or an emotion, you know, that really captivates me.
Right.
And not only will I listen to it, but I'll sit down on the piano and try and figure it out.
Is there a certain emotion, maybe, that it is, rather than genre?
Yeah, I mean, it could be like really intense, dark. Another time, it could be very just a very ambient, no vocals. It really just depends on what kind of state I'm in, you know.
Very cool.
That's cool.
Something that can reflect an emotion that I've been feeling that I haven't been able to either express or share, or it just feels like, you know, feels like the artist knows a little bit about, you know, my life, like I'm feeling my life experience through what they're expressing.
Right. Right. What about you, Bob?
Well, you know, as you know, I listen to a lot of different music and, and play a lot of different music. Right. But the, probably the music, if it comes on, I just don't ever turn off would be, like, late '50s bebop jazz, you know, the sort of Miles Davis, John Coltrane era, you know, where it was like four or five guys in a room, you know, piano, stand up bass, sax, probably a trumpet, you know what I mean? Maybe a guitar. Yeah. I mean, even though I'm a guitar player, I honestly prefer piano jazz over guitar jazz, but you know, but that era of jazz, I always listen to it. I got records. There's a record on my turntable right now called Modern Jazz Perspective. And it
and the song we're working on right now, the song we're working on right now, you resampled a old drum record or something.
Yeah. Right? So we were talking about our music, David. The stuff that Keel and I are working on, I make a lot of instrumental music. I write songs too. I've got hundreds of songs where I sang on them, but I don't really like singing anymore. That's not true. I don't write lyrics much anymore. I'm happy now, so I don't have anything to write about. So I mostly make instrumental music. And the one that we're doing right now, we're making this instrumental album, and about half of it are going to be songs that I had previously released solo. And then Keel and I started working together, and I was like, hey, why don't you remix a couple of these, you know, kind of remaster them, make them sound better. And now we've ripped them apart, and we're making them into brand new songs. And it's fantastic. And the one you're talking about is Low Tide Funk, it's called. And it was all built around a drum loop that I sampled off of a vinyl record of Maynard Ferguson, which is actually later. That's like 70s jazz, right? So I mean, it's not really my forte, but had a great drum loop and a little flute thing going on. So I grabbed that from a record and wrote a song around it, basically. That's why the song's so in dope. D sharp minor, because the flute was in D sharp minor.
Exactly.
So I forgot why I started talking about that.
No, I brought it up.
You brought it up. There you go.
Okay. Well, now I have to answer my own question. It's funny, and I'll explain why I asked the question. So, I mean, most of our viewers know that my little off-time thing I do is play Need for Speed at night, like with my crew, Streets of Rage. And I just play, and I always have Spotify on in my headset, right? And so basically that's my fun time, because I get to listen to music without having the producer ear, because I'm focused on gaming. And so my knowledge of music isn't going, oh, he panned this that way, that's cool, you know, type of thing. So I was like sitting there playing one night, and I was listening to a bunch of hip hop, and I was like thinking, oh wait, literally 99% of the time I am listening to hip hop at night. Like, it's like, once that comes on, I'm good. Like, I'm not listening to any, and I love metal. I've made metal for years. I love EDM. I love almost every genre, at least one artist. I even like some country. Roger Miller's one of my biggest influences, which if you know me as a person and how stupid I am, you can see why Roger Miller is an influence. So anyways, my answer is hip hop. I'll just, you know, from like new hip hop to old hip hop, it's just, I love it all. So anyways, okay, Bob, your turn to ask a question.
My turn to ask a question. See, I'm tempted to ask, I'm going to ask a similar question I asked on previous episodes.
It's fine.
Yeah, because of the shirt I'm wearing. So I have to acknowledge this at some point in this episode. My favorite show in the entire world, like literally one of my favorite things in the entire world, is Futurama. And if you don't know, it's a cartoon. It's silly.
I'm pretty sure most of our viewers,
most people probably know. Anyway, I live for the freaking show. I love it. I've loved it for 20 years. Anyway, they announced yesterday that it's coming back again for like the fourth time. It's being reincarnated. Hulu ordered 20 episodes.
So great.
They even made new episodes in like seven years. It's amazing. So anyway, this is my Futurama shirt. So the question based on that ridiculous rant was, right. What is the question? The question is, if you could bring back, right, if you could bring back anything from the past, I previously asked a similar question about like, about movies or TV,
right?
Just like sort of any, art or anything that you're a thing of your, that you love that is gone now. And right. I don't want to make it sad. Like, I'm not talking about people or whatever, but it can be. Well, you can.
No,
it
I'm
can
just kidding.
It
just
can
kidding.
Be whatever you want, but if you could bring something back, right. From right. culture or from your life, what would it be?
Yes. Go ahead, David.
If I could bring anything back from my past culture, I don't know. I'm kind of blank on that one.
That's a weird question. I really just wanted to talk about Futurama.
No, but that brings up a very good point of being someone that's very, very secure in where you are right now is a very good way of being. Because like the Buddha said, like that expectations and desire is what brings us suffering. So being in the place he's in, which obviously you weren't like, I hate life because there's no Futurama.
No, but I was. I hated life because there was no Futurama.
Well, fair enough. Now he doesn't hate life.
I'm just kidding.
But the bigger message there is like the true happiness and stuff comes from just being present in this moment with the things you have.
There you go.
So, even though I am going to answer the question not that way, but I think that is a beautiful answer. Which
it is.
Obviously, me and Bob are not like detrimentally sad these things are gone. So I'm not saying that we are suffering because these things are gone. No. But I had to point out how amazing that answer was. I think I'm going to say two things because they're one of them is a TV show and I really do want to say it. So, but they made this energy drink. Rockstar made like a peach sparkling energy drink. I drank it every single day at Icon. I would buy bag. I think David probably remembers. I'd go to the corner store and buy a whole bag full of energy drinks and it'd just hang on my scooter all day and I'd drink them. I love it. Probably never coming back. If Monster Energy, I think it actually was Rockstar. Don't be mad. Rockstar. If you're listening, remake that drink for me and thank you very much. Or the show House.
House is a great show.
I mean, my name on the wall behind me has the name House in it, and it has it for a reason. So if that show, because not only is that show amazing and fun, and they're actually pretty accurate with the medicine part, because my dad's a doctor, and he's like, oh, I've learned about that right. story they based that off of. So it's very accurate, but it actually helped me with my addictions back years ago, you right. know? Watching him withdraw and like then me withdrawing, like I felt like there was like somebody like that knew what I was going through. It made me feel, oh, I'm not alone. If I'm watching someone on the television who, when I was on OxyContin, he was on OxyContin, you know, and then kind of around the same time, we both made the choice. It's like, I felt less alone. So anyways, if House could come back, that'd be great. I'd be very happy, but I don't think that's coming anytime soon. So anyways, David.
But that's great, right? To find art that reflects our existence. What I was saying earlier about music, when you find a piece of music that explains in a way that you never thought of how you feel, you feel connected. That's why you have that connection to this artist, because you feel like the artist knows you and you know the artist. And I mean, if I had to say one thing, I would say Nine Inch Nails shows.
Rock on.
I just love the way the whole sonic, lyrically, lighting, the visuals, it's just an immense immersion of concepts. And I think they're going to be touring soon, but I miss some of those old tours and some of those old.
But you know, earlier I defined myself as like, you know, smack dab at the center of Generation X. You saw my face just light up and you're like Nine Inch Nails. Like, yeah, rock on. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's okay, excellent. David, what about you? Ask one question, we'll answer, and then you answer.
All right. I have four questions, actually.
All right. Cool.
That sounds great. Ask the four questions.
The first one is, where did we come from?
Okay.
Where we come from. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay.
We'll go one question at a time. So we'll answer it and you answer it and then we'll go to the next.
I love it.
All four. Let's do it. Great.
All right, cool. I was born in Englewood, New Jersey.
I don't think that's what he means, but go ahead.
Where do you come from? No?
No, I mean humanity. I mean, where
do we come from?
Where do we come from?
I thought it was a question. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, origin. Sorry. You know, a question of origin.
Okay. Sure. Well, you know, this kind of gets into belief, right? Which Kilo knows well that when I talk about things like belief, what do we believe in? I always say I believe in everything and nothing, right?
Right.
I believe,
sure.
Like you'll never find me saying I'm definitely no atheist. I'm not anything like that. I've never say there's no God. I would never say there's no aliens. I would never say there's no angels because I believe they're probably all real. That's what I think, you know.
Sure.
So where do we come from? I think it's just one of my favorite things about human history is the lack of human history.
Right. Right.
If you look at genetically, like, you know, the evolution of man, right? If you believe such things, and I do, human beings have been around on this earth for at least a quarter of a million years, maybe half a million years, right?
Right.
But our history, like at best, human history goes back maybe 10,000 right. years. Like, and that's like with the Chinese and the Taoists and things, right? Most human civilizations only go back about 5,000 maybe, or even less, right? So what the hell happened for the other 495,000 years, you know? So that's interesting to me. I don't know the answer. So, I don't know where we came from, but I believe it's a really interesting story and one that we don't know.
Right. And that we'll know it someday.
Someday. Right? You know, when we meet the guy upstairs, he'll say, oh yeah, yeah, that was the aliens and the dinosaurs got together. They mixed it up in a lab and here you go. And then, you know, they called me and I said, go for it.
Right. And
who knows?
And then you're like, all right, cool. And I think this is great that you're asking these type of questions, David, because actually I learned at ICON from, I don't remember what teacher in music business, there's two things you don't talk about if you want a career to last, which is politics, which we're not talking about, don't worry, and religion, right? So Bob will vouch for this and our viewers will vouch for this. I usually do not open my mouth about what I believe on anything. I just kind of keep it to myself, but I feel very comfortable with David here since at his school, I learned not to do this. I guess it's okay to do it now. So we're going to do it. I am one person that will say, I do believe we're all wrong in some way, right? We're not God or the universe. So we do not know the answer. So whatever I'm saying right now, I am not ignorant enough to think it's 100% right. So, but I do believe when you refer to us and we, I, because I've been in a wheelchair my whole, I almost said most of my life, which that doesn't make any sense. But my whole life, I have learned the disconnect between like your mind and soul or whatever and your body, right? So when I refer to us, I'm not going to refer to the body and the human being. I'm going to refer to me and you and what actually makes us up. And I believe in energy and that we are energy beings and that there is a source energy and that we are all connected in some magnificently crazy way that we do not understand. For instance, people that can't hear their fire alarms beeping, which blows my mind all the time. Me and Bob talked about this, like downstairs below me, three floors down, and it's been beeping in their apartment for 6 months, and I finally realized they don't hear it. And so what I'm saying with that is just because you're not experiencing something and you do not recognize it necessarily with your mind right now, it doesn't mean it's not there, because that's beeping and they don't give a fuck about it because they can't hear it. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's my answer. What about you, David? Where do we come from?
I don't know either, but I have been thinking about where these ideas of justice and truth and love and, you know, do these things come from a primordial soup that just a bunch of atoms bouncing together by random choice, you know? I think about love, right? Like
right.
The fact that, you know, I have love for you, Kilo, and I just met Bob, and I have love for Bob, and I have love for my wife, and all these different people are very unique. And if they were to pass away, I don't just replace them with another iteration of that person. Right. There's something very special and unique. And that is part of, I believe, my real experience that I can say this is a very factual statement about how I experience life. And I think that can be said for a lot of people. So for me, when people say that we basically just this, that we're here because of randomness, mm-hmm. I ask myself, is love something that's real and is love random?
Right.
You know? Yeah. And so then I have a hard time seeing that I have a piece, which is love,
right,
that is not part of the overarching meaning rooms. Like right. How can a piece not be part of the whole? You know?
Right.
So I don't have answers, but that's something right. I've been really considering lately from that micro perspective.
Right. Right.
I think it's up to all of us to maybe consider these questions, because right. how you answer these impacts every decision that you make and the way that you Absolutely. Approach life.
Nice.
So I just find it a very interesting question.
What is your second question, David? This is great.
Actually,
I'm just going to leave it at that, because I think I've already pushed us way into the deep end.
I mean,
dude,
I was actually
going
to comment
talk about this stuff on the show. If you're willing, we're definitely willing. We won't push you to do it, but I think this is great if you want to keep going.
Well, I did want to comment on one thing that David said that I think is lovely, by the way, and I agree, and it's fantastic. And one of the things that comes to mind is when you were referring to creation and randomness, and whether existence has meaning, basically, you know, and that is a sort of there are two sort of opposing sides about that kind of thing, which is kind of silly to me, and in the sense that there'll be science says that, you know, what you believe over here in your religion is not true because my science says it's not, and vice versa, right? But the truth is, like, one of the greatest minds of all time, right? It was Albert Einstein, of course, right? Einstein was a religious man. Einstein believed in God, and he was Jewish, and he saw a lot of value in Buddhism, but he was a devout Jew. And when somebody asked him a question similar to this, like they asked, you know, what is the nature of God, basically? And he said, the reason I'm bringing this up is this is a better, he articulated what I was trying to say better than I can. And he said basically that, you know, the universe, God and the universe are like a massive library. And humanity is the small child that doesn't know how to read and just steps into this library and the child looks around and they can tell there's some organization going on here.
Right.
There's something happening. And the child knows enough to know what a book is. So knows there's a lot of information in this room too. And there's a lot I can learn. But the child has no idea what's going on.
But I don't know how to learn.
They don't know it's a library. They don't know what's in. They can't read the books. They don't understand the organization of it all. And they likely never will. They won't know all of it ever. And they might start to understand it as they get older. And Einstein said that to him is the most enlightened human being's concept of God. That is the best we can do. Is this kind of child in a library. And I love it. I think
absolutely. See, David, we love talking about this stuff. This is what we talk about alone. If we were on the phone now, we would literally be talking about the same thing. So if you want to continue, it's great. If you don't want to, we're not going to make you.
Well, we could probably do this for hours and hours, but nobody would watch it. But if at some point,
you don't know that. So either way, it's up to you, bud.
Yeah,
no, it was great to hear your perspective on that. On that question, I'm finding myself asking a lot of my friends that question just to see what their perspective is. So thanks for sharing that with me.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for being on our show. I remember the moment I was like, I should interview the owners of Icon. And in my mind, I did. It's funny. I did the exact same thing. And we talked about it in the beginning of the show.
Did. That's right.
Funny. And I even told my friend last night, who has been on the show, who was the guy who I was staying at his house when I found Icon. He's the whole reason I even looked out here. But we were talking about that. What was I talking about? I forgot.
You were talking about when you were doubting, you know.
Good job. Okay, we got it back past that time. I remember that I was like, Bob had just confirmed with his cousin who's in Johnny Depp's band. And that episode for us in real time comes out tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
But you guys don't get to see this for a while. So anyways, but I remember I was like, I should interview them. But in the back of my mind, I thought there's no way they're going to do an interview with me. I'm just normal. You know, to me, I'm just Kilo. But I totally told Bob and everybody around me that, yeah, of course they'll want to do it. Like I literally did what you talked about, which now that I think about it, I remember having deep, deep conversations with you outside, like by the smoking area when I went to Icon. So now that I really think through it, it's like, of course, like there's no reason I should have doubted, but I did exactly what you talked about, which is I told everyone around me that it was going to work out and it was going to happen. And now we're here. And now you guys get to watch this episode and we got to hear more of David's perspective of things. So I just want to say thank you. It was, it's a very big honor. It means a lot to us to be able to have this opportunity to talk to you today.
Wonderful. Thanks for shedding a little light on Icon. And Christopher says hello. He's actually traveling, but, you know, he left it in my hands to kind of represent, but he really appreciated you reaching out to him as well. And yeah, you know, Icon is not us. Icon is you, Kilo. So thank you for continuing to follow your path and pursue music and bringing light to the world and sharing your talents with everyone, because you know you are Icon. So thank you for being who you are. I appreciate that.
Well, thank Bob, you for saying
Bob, you're in good hands, brother, and I look forward to hearing some of the music.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I want to make a suggestion to you, Bob.
Sure.
That is that you find out who the musical composer and director is for Futurama.
Yes.
And that you take a scene from Futurama and you score some music to it.
Wow.
And then that you send it to him and say, I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan of your work. And I just want to share with you what you've inspired me to make and just see where that leads you.
That's a cool idea. I like it. It is a great
idea. Thank you for that.
Awesome. I will do that.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you everyone for watching this episode. I hope you enjoyed. If you want to go to Icon, we'll probably have the link below my face right now or something. So you can click on it. You can, you know, look and see what we're even talking about. If you don't do music, maybe you're interested to see why we're talking about this today. So just click on that link, click on the other links that are wherever, and like, subscribe, whatever you do on whatever you're
like,
listening.
Like, subscribe, and review, and all the other things.
Yeah, I'm not good at pitching that. But anyways, okay, good night or good day.
And David, thank you very much. I didn't get to say thank you. So I really appreciate it. This has really been great for me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Onwards and upwards, gentlemen.
For sure. Bye.
All right, see you later.
Hey, let's take a minute.